You're listening to Track Talk with CH and Ferdy.
Yes. Yes. Yes, indeed. Back to give you what you need. In the place to be on the mic check. What's going on, everybody? You're listening to Track Talk with CH and Ferdy. This is, man, episode 6.
Is it?
Yeah. Episode 6, man. This is the episode where I think we're going to ruffle some feathers.
Yeah, it's all right.
Yeah, it happens, you know. We've been nice, but we got to keep it real, too. So, today's topic of discussion. Let me cut this right quick. Listen to the sounds of Jazzy Jeff Fresh Prince. That was a touch of jazz. We're going to get a touch of, because it's about to get real today. I'm not offensive people, but you know what? If you get offended, you're the problem.
Possibly.
Yeah, it's probably you if you get offended. But today's episode, we are going to talk about coaches on the side, sports on the side, them side coaches.
Those side sports.
So we're not just targeting side coaching. We're talking about the sports, too. And I like to, you know, preface this episode by giving a little analogy. And I like to say that side coaches are kind of like side pieces. They tell you what you want to hear. Everything sounds good and feels good in the moment. But in the long run, you can get hurt bad. And if you got to hide it from your main one, can't be a good thing. That's all I'm saying.
And by side pieces, side pieces, he means, you know, that one person that you're cheating with.
Yeah, I'm talking about infidelity. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, basically. Adultery. You know, but getting right into it, let's not, you know, be one-sided and just be spewing flames at people. Let's keep it real. There are some rare pros when a side coach can work out. So, good example. I'm a coach.
Yeah, you are.
I coach sprints.
Yes, you do.
I coach jumps.
Yep.
I coach hurdles.
Uh-huh.
I can dabble in the distance because, you know, I've studied that. And if I need to, I can do it because there's been a time when I was the only coach and had to.
Yep.
Same with the throws.
Yep.
You know, same with the hurdles, field events, yada, yada, yada. We get the pole vault.
I got nothing.
Look. I could study all the things in the world about pole vault, but at the end of the day, I want my athletes to be safe. And if I know me coaching pole vault is not safe, guess what? Somebody got to do it. And if I don't have, if I'm in a program where I don't have an assistant coach who knows pole vault, I'm gonna have to reach out to somebody. I've done that in the past where, you know, you have an arrangement, you have an agreement where, okay, we have a need for a coach in this area, and we don't have that coach on staff, so we need to, you know, reach out, partner with maybe another program. I remember a few years back, I had a couple of people that were interested in pole vault, and I can't think of any school in our district who had a pole vault coach at the time. So we had an agreement with two of the private schools that if anybody needed any pole vault practice, pole vault training, there was an agreement with our entire district and these two private schools that we could send athletes on specific days once we work it out. Because the thing is this, you know, you have to make sure you have your insurance in order. That's the main thing, number one, that these ADs care about. If my athlete goes over to that school and gets hurt, who's in charge? Who's responsible? Who has to foot the bill? So that insurance thing is a major, major, major thing. So that has to be in place. But if that's in place, the ADs know what's going on. The coaches know what's going on. That is one of those situations where it is a good thing. It can be helpful. If I can't provide you something that you need, I need to provide you with somebody who can do it. So, you know, I don't want anybody to think we're just sitting here saying, oh, you can't get help from anybody. There's even times when we're at a meet and you may be the jumps coach and the hurdles coach. You got a jumper going right now. You got the hurdles going right now. You can't be in two places at once. You might have a friend that's a coach at another school that gets their mark for your kid or just, you know, gives them a little tidbit here and there, but there's that understanding. They know, you know, that you have a respect for each other where they know that, you know, them talking to your athlete is not going to be stepping on your toes. You know, they're not going to tell them anything that you wouldn't be saying. You know, it's basically like they're hearing the same thing just from a different voice. You know, you got any take on that?
Yeah, I mean, nothing really else to add, but I've definitely been asked by people, like at meets and stuff, you know, to give advice to their athletes, usually with hurdles, which, you know, as long as there's permission from the coach, I'm cool with it.
Yeah.
You know, I'll give, you know, give them advice, whatever.
And there's even been times coaches have, you know, come to me and say, coach, you know, I saw when they were doing their approach, or I saw when they went to the second hurdle, they did this, they did that. You might want to tell them, you know, and that's not a coach trying to stick out their chest and, you know, overshine you. They genuinely have an interest in the best interest of that athlete, and they're just giving you a little tidbit that you might have been at the finish line watching something else, but they were at the start and they saw something that you couldn't see from your vantage point, or vice versa. You might be watching the start, they might have seen something at the finish that could help out, you know. And when you in this coaching fraternity, you're gonna, you know, come across coaches that you may work with, so for example, like in summer programs and things of that nature, and you have a mutual respect. So, you know, there's a situation where that coach can say anything to my athlete and I'm cool with it, you know, that I can say anything to that coach's athlete and he's cool with it or she's cool with it. You know, there's that mutual respect thing. It's when it gets to the point where that there is that isn't that mutual respect. It's just, you know, I'm trying to show up your coach, or your coach doesn't know what he's doing, is a third. That's when it gets to be a problem, you know.
Yeah, I think, and then also another pro, which actually ties into what you were saying, just getting outside help when needed.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you know the strength and conditioning coach who's really good at what he does, and you might need a little help. And let's say you don't have enough time at practice to actually get in the weight room or something.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's a good...
Some facilities are limited.
Yeah, I think that's also a good idea, given that strength and conditioning coach understands what the actual sport coach is doing.
Mm-hmm.
So that way the workouts can coincide and complement the efforts that are happening at the actual practice.
Yeah, and I'm glad you bring that up too, because I remember a long time ago I was talking to somebody about, you know, being in a weight room and you know, why we do what we do. And I remember saying something to the effect of, when I was going to the gym, I'm like, you can go into the weight room at any gym and you can see about 10, 15 people in there doing completely different things. None of it's wrong. It's just they're doing different things for different reasons. This person's in here training for football. This person's in here training for soccer. This person's training for baseball. This person's training for swimming. This person's training for Ninja Warrior. This person's training for, you know, UFC or something like that. There's different training methods for different sports. So everybody's not going to go in there and just, you know, do 4 sets of 10 on the bench. You know, everybody's not going to go up there and just do front squats. You know, 4 sets of 10. You know, people have different reasons that they're lifting. So to tie into what you were saying, you know, when you go into a strength and conditioning coach, if it's necessary, just make sure that strength and conditioning coach has a track background, so that they're not just giving you, you know, offensive lineman stuff that's going to have you really, really powerful, you know, with the forearm shiver, but it's not going to help you get out of the blocks fast enough.
Yeah, actually, and the really good strength and conditioning coaches usually have some kind of certification and a degree. And I say a degree because I think it's important for a strength and conditioning coach to have a degree in the exercise sciences or kinesiology, whether it be bachelor's or master's degree or a doctorate. But also, if you take that in conjunction with a certification like from the National Strength and Conditioning Association, which is their certifies strength and conditioning certification, that is actually one of the harder or more difficult certifications to get, because there is a lot that's covered in it.
Mm-hmm.
For example, on top of just the weight training itself, they also have to go through and answer questions on, let's say, needs analysis being, what does this athlete need for this sport?
Yeah.
So then they view the sport and see what they need from there. They also need to know, you might not know this, but they also have to know speed, like sprinting.
Yep.
They have to know that. They have to know plyometrics, so all the jumping and stuff. On top of that, with medicine ball, they have to know about nutrition. Listen, I got the textbook on this exam, and it's huge. But they cover through a lot, so the really good ones will, even if they don't have necessarily an experience with track as far as they've coached it or they've done it, they can still do a really good job as long as you get a good strength and conditioning coach. Yeah. I also, it's actually one reason I don't necessarily become a trainer at a gym or anything, because there's a lot of people who just pose as a trainer. Like, they can put on, they can open up an Instagram page and say personal trainer, and you know what credentials do they have except they work out constantly and have muscles, you know.
I'm ripped, bro.
Like, you know, I'm not ripped, but I probably know more than them for sure. I definitely do. So yeah, I think that that's also a thing people don't understand is, like, and really anyone can be a personal trainer. I don't have the kind of personality to just show off that. Like, if you look at my Instagram or Twitter, I don't, I've kind of taken out any track reference, like, in my bio, or any, they definitely don't mention anything about training or strength and conditioning, even though I have certification in it. But, you know, that's just me. I'm also not into sales. Like, you know, I have to get clients. I feel douchey trying to get somebody to, like, hey, come work out with me and pay me. Like, I don't know. It feels weird to me, so.
I can get you ripped, bro.
Yeah. Like, whatever. Yeah. Just, you know, don't be fat and do something.
But another thing that you mentioned about having certification and a degree is something that you hold in high regard. In layman's terms, like, look at it like this. Who do you want teaching your kid? A teacher with a master's degree, or a sub that's still working on credits, and they've been working on credits for like 10 years and they just take a class here and there just to keep, you know, in line with their credits so that they can continue to sub, but they're really just kind of straining along for the money? Do you want the paycheck person or the person who's actually vested in that field of study, in that area? And I think having a degree in the exercise sciences means you have somebody that's more serious. They take pride in what they do. They're not, you know, trying to poke their chest out and show you how knowledgeable they are. They're actually knowledgeable and they want to help you, you know.
Yeah,
I think that makes a big difference.
With that said, anyone who's looking for a trainer, holla at me.
Cha-ching. Yeah. But that being said, there is one other aspect that I can think of right now where I feel a quote, this might not fall under the line of side coach, but it kind of does. If Vince Anderson is coming to my city, if Bouchek Snyder is coming to my city, if Todd Lane is coming to my city, if you don't know these names, Google them. You should know them. If you're listening to Track Talk, you should know these names. If they're coming to my city and they're doing a clinic on sprints or jumps or hurdles or this or that, they could be doing it on taxes. If it's track related, I'm going. I'm sending my kids, because I feel like at the end of the day, if this person knows, this person forgot more than I know, then that's somewhere I want to take my kids to. You know, clinics with certified people and people that actually have companies and do this on a regular basis, I don't see any issues with that. You know, what's your take on that?
Those coaches have a free pass to talk to my kids. Like, I don't care when. Hey, just take over. Doesn't bother me a bit. I would gladly have them as site coaches.
Exactly. And like I said, these are some situations where having a side coach can be a benefit, because it all falls in line with what the end game is, what the end goal is, and that's to make that athlete a better athlete, to help that athlete reach their goals, hit those PRs, and do it in a safe manner. Here's where it can go sideways. Okay, so if you have practice, yet then you have your side coach, and you have practice after practice, when are you recovering? Because we've talked about in this podcast plenty of times how recovery is key. But if you have 5 to 6 days of track practice with your school, then you have 3 extra practices with your side program, when are you getting your recovery? This can lead to injuries because this is what we call overtraining. We're not talking about overtraining as far as like, okay, I'm going heavy and I'm doing less reps in the weight room. We're talking about, okay, practice is over. You should be in recovery mode, but then you're going and doing some more, you know, speed work. Or you might have done speed work at practice, but on your second practice, now you're doing speed endurance. You know, you're doing something that's completely not matching what you've already done. And throwing the science game in here, you know, your nervous system is like, yo, what the hell is going on? We was running fast earlier, now we're running that pace. We was doing power cleans earlier, now we doing sets of 12 and curls, and I don't know what's going on. And your body gets confused and doesn't know what's going on. And if you had that side coach that's not asking what you did at practice and tailoring it to match, that's where injuries can come into play. That's where nervous system crashes come into play. And I know you can break down more of the science aspect of it.
Yeah, I'll actually give you one thing. I guess you could call it a disease. I don't really know what it's called. Mm-hmm. It's called rhabdomyolysis.
Okay.
It's
spell that fast 3 times. Rhabdomyolysis.
Yeah. Rhabdo for short. Yeah. That is when it's a part of overtraining, where basically your muscles are just pretty much dying, so muscle cell death, and the contents of that end up in your bloodstream and can cause kidney failure, and you can die. And that's a real thing. I think the last case I've heard of it was 3 or 4 years ago.
That's too recent.
Yeah, it was a
way too recent.
Yeah, it was a strength and conditioning coach at, I want to say, Oregon.
Okay.
Somewhere in that northwest region, and just too much meathead work. That wasn't even a side coach thing. That was just incompetence by the strength coach. Mm-hmm. There just had them doing way too much. And then a couple athletes did get rhabdomyolysis. They lived, though, but that's you're hospitalized.
Yeah.
From that. So, you know, you got to listen. Definitely listen to your body. Like, if you're having another coach, you're doing extra workouts, and you feel tired.
You're tired.
Yeah, that means relax. So.
Yeah, if your stomach is growling, you're hungry. If your leg is sore, like really sore, you're tired. You probably need to stretch. You need the ice. You know, recovery is key. You know, like Ferdy said, listen to your body. Your body is honest with you. You start cramping, you probably need water. You know, these are the telltale signs. You know, always listen to your body. Trust your body, because you know your body better than anybody else. And then that being said, what else starts to happen? You start getting athletes not wanting to practice because, okay, well, I'm at practice, but I got to go to practice later on tonight. So,
I got a soccer game or a lacrosse game.
Yeah,
tonight.
And like we said, it's not just side coaches, it's side sports. So I want to do a little here because I got this soccer tournament tonight, or I got this lacrosse match tonight. And now we're when we start talking in the side sports, we're talking about two completely different mindsets now, because you have soccer and lacrosse. These are games that are just constant nonstop play. You know, soccer, you're just running up and down the field, running up and down the field, running up and down the field. If you're a sprinter and you run the 200 and you're a girl, you're on the track anywhere from 24 to 28 seconds. Then you're chilling. You know, there is no real endurance base for a sprinter. You know what I mean? Like, do you need to run miles and miles and miles to run a 200? No. Do you need to run miles and miles and miles to run 100 meters? No. Not even a 400. Is there some endurance-based sprint training? Yes. But do you need to run miles? No. So when you get on the soccer field or the lacrosse field, and say you're one of the better players that plays a lot, if a game is 40 to 60 minutes and you're out there a half hour running around nonstop, that is a completely different training mindset and method. And you're going back to the whole nervous system thing. Your body is screwed up, because if you have practice, double practices on Monday, I did speed work on Monday, so I'm powerful, I'm explosive, I'm, you know, top end of speed, and then you go to the soccer game or this lacrosse game or AAU basketball, and you're just doing, you know, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Completely different training thing. The gains that you might have gotten in track, you're losing once you get to that other sport. And it's not just that your track is falling off. Think about what you could be doing in other sport. Sometimes it's okay to make a decision. You know what? I love basketball. I'm going to do this AAU thing. I love soccer. I'm just going to do the soccer thing. You know, I love lacrosse. I'm going to do this lacrosse thing. And just do that and just be as good as you can at that. But when you try to do both in the same season, it can be catastrophic. I've heard of, blown ACLs. And we're not talking about, like, you know, college-age athletes. We're talking about, like, ninth graders. Blown out knees, 8th, 9th, 10th grade. You know, and these things travel along with you. So
I'm almost thinking I think it might lead. I'm not sure. I think it might lead to, like, a decrease in performance even after.
Oh yeah, you they quit. Plateau.
So like, I mean, let's say, I don't know, freshman, sophomore year, or 8th grade, 9th grade year, they're doing two sports at the same time. I don't necessarily see an improvement that 10th grade year if they're only doing one sport. I think something still holds on. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. It's just what I've seen, or at least I think I've noticed. Uh-huh. I'm not sure. But we'll I've definitely seen it. I've seen, like, you know, people doing a couple of sports and then they don't, but they don't look as well as they have before. It's a little weird.
I've definitely seen some plateauing when you're like that stud athlete in like 8th grade. Oh, wait till they're a senior. And then by 11th grade, they're still running the same time they're running in 8th grade. And you're like, oh, what happened to them?
Overworking from the coaches. We'll talk more about that with veteran coaches.
Yeah, yeah. But then, like I said, that all started about me saying, like, you know, athletes not wanting to practice. So not only are they not wanting to practice at your practice and because they're thinking about other practice, they're setting a bad example for everybody else who's there that may not be playing another sport, who may not have a side coach. They're like, hey, we're at practice. We're sitting here working hard. Why do they get to sit around and do nothing, you know? You get those trust issues between coach and athlete because you may be saying one thing to your athlete. Your side coach is saying something else to the athlete, but it could be something completely different. So if that side coach happens to be at track meets where you're at, it's like, okay, now the athlete is sitting there like, okay, I got to talk to my side coach. I got to talk to my coach. And then you're hearing multiple things. And come on, these are high school kids.
Yeah, here's where
confusion.
Yeah, here's also part of the confusion where both coaches can be correct. The issue comes with, let's say we're talking about a progression of a movement. All right, so, you know, a coach that's looking from afar might see, oh, you need to do this or that. Well, in practice, we're probably aware of what that issue is, but we can't get there until we do this other thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's just we have to fix. Sometimes you have to fix one thing at a time. There's maybe a couple things you can bundle together that'll progress from one movement to another. But, yeah, I know what the overall, let's say, position of a block start should be. And I get where they need to be at what point, but it's like if they're not there at, you know, April 1st, I mean, they're just not there at April 1st, but I'm still working on it.
Yeah.
I'm probably just doing some other different things to help them get to that point. So that's part of it. Just maybe coaches are saying the correct thing, but the person who's there with the athlete day in and day out at practice knows a little bit more about what, you know, a progression is or what their tendencies are. Also, maybe also, you know, the psychology of it. You know, some kids respond to certain kind of stimuli. So, you know, maybe one person needs to be screamed at. The other might need to be hugged.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, I think seeing it just when you have two different entities with different thoughts, but mean well, because I think side coaches do mean well. because they want to help the athlete out.
Yeah.
But it's not. It has to be a consistent thing. You can't just say, oh, we need to work on this, but like maybe we probably are, just in a different way.
Yeah. And not only that, you have to look at it like this as well. When you're at a track meet, especially if it's early in the season, mid-season, whatever the case may be, and this athlete's not a senior that's getting ready to go to college, you're coaching that athlete with now and the future in the mindset, whereas a side coach might be a little bit more on the immediate gratification process, like you need to fix this, do this on your next jump, or do this on the next race, where we're like, okay, we made some progress, so next week we need to do this, and when we go back to practice this week, we're going to work on this and everything like that to build up to get to that, because we, you know, being in our program, we might have a more of a long-term approach to get to that end goal, and you know, it's not always going to happen overnight. You're going to have some kids that the first time they do something, oh my God, they just did it perfect. You're going to have some that have to work for like a year just to get halfway to what you want. And then as they develop more, they get stronger, they get more balance and coordination, then those things start to come more naturally. Some people have it. A good example, when I used to coach School of the Arts, a lot of my best athletes, natural athletes, I should say, were the dance majors, because a lot of the stuff they did in dance with the balance, the coordination, the core strength, you know, the foot strength, it carried over well to track and field. So that was one situation where it was like, you know, they're coming in with a solid base already from dance. You know, they were a lot stronger. You know, we've had in the past, one of our best pole vaulters was in gymnastics, and it translated well to pole vault. You know, so these are some things that you have to look at. What kind of base are these athletes coming in with? This athlete is a dancer or a gymnast, so they have a good foundation already, where this athlete, this might be their first time doing this sport. They have potential, but they don't have that foundation in other athletes who might be the same age as them came in as. So even though they're the same age, they might be brought along slower than the other. You know what I mean? So that has to be taken into consideration. But if you're not in that program every day to know that and see that, you're thinking, well, why aren't you doing this now? You should be doing this by now, you know. So that's where some confusion comes in as well, too. And you know, the kids are hearing, like, yeah, I should be doing this right now. Why am I not doing this now? Then you get kids questioning their actual coach, and that's where the whole trust issue thing starts to, you know, fester.
Like Drake. Sorry, I don't know. He just has trust issues with everyone.
Yeah. Drake, the kitten whisperer. Yeah.
Never heard that one.
Yeah. But then there are some even worse situations where, you know, you do have side coaches who have, you know, the best interest of the athlete. You have some that are just trying to get recognition. And they just happen to just all of a sudden magically, they just seem to be coaching those athletes that are already good. They seem to be coaching those athletes that are only top level. And my thing is, this is like, sometimes it's like, okay, if you're going to coach my best athlete, why not coach her friend who might not be as good as well, or his friend that might not be as good, but, you know, they have potential. You know, it's funny how sometimes you just see people just pluck from the top and then say, oh, look how great of a coach I am. Like, yeah, well, dude, they were, like, already good, you know. Like, it's mainly just sometimes not messing up a good athlete.
Here's the point. It's... with a lot of these coaches, they're really good at recruiting.
Yeah.
But not a lot of times do I see a good coach. I see a good recruiter.
Yeah.
You can do things with a great athlete. I can do a lot of things, actually. That probably won't mean anything.
Mm-hmm.
And it just looks like, oh, they improved their time. Listen, in high school, a lot of times they're improving just because they're getting older.
Yeah, they're maturing.
Yeah, so
natural development of a child.
Like, whatever. That's it's kind
of. I've had lazy athletes who don't do much in practice, barely lift, but just because the natural development of human beings, PR every year.
Yeah. So then it's like, oh, I help them. No, I don't know. I don't think you can help them get older.
Yeah. I think you can help their genes that are already there develop.
I can see, and you know, you can tell from watching certain athletes on different teams, which I've done a lot, you can tell who's getting better because of coaching.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell who's getting better because they're just getting older.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's unfair. Well, whatever. That's life. But no, you can definitely see, like, if an athlete has bad tendencies from when they're like a freshman, and it's still prevalent when they're what's that grade, a senior?
Yeah.
Then probably they're just, you know, better because they're getting, you know, they're maturing more. Yeah.
But in layman's terms, if your running form sucks in ninth grade and it still sucks in 12th grade, but you've been,
or it hasn't improved much, I'll put it that way.
Yeah, or sucks, you know. That's showing that, yeah, you're just getting stronger. You got taller. You know, you lifted some. And by natural, you know, development, you got better, you know. You might still have bad arms, the same bad arms you had in freshman year, but, you know, it is what it is, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some of these side coaches are in it for the money, you know, charging.
I like money.
I mean, money is good and everything like that, but I also look at it like this. If I'm a coach for a program, I'm not really trying to coach anybody else to beat my athletes.
Nope.
I'm trying to coach my athletes to beat everybody else. So, like, and I'll give you a good situation. This is a true story. So, one summer we're coaching, you know, for the Rebels, and Rochester Running Rebels, for those who don't know, USATF Track Club, code 0028. Join if you're in town.
You can donate on the website, yeah, at
running-rebels-trackclub.com. Another day, another time. But, you know, we're coaching over the summer, and we have athletes from different schools in the area, you know, training with us and everything like that. So one of the athletes, who will go unmentioned, at the time didn't have a sprint coach at their school. So the athlete approached me and was like, "Hey, coach, we don't have a sprint coach, and our coach said, you know, we could, if we can find somebody, you know, like, because we need some sprint training. We don't have any sprint training. You know, we enjoy what we did over the summer, and blah 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 blah. You know, could you help me?" And I was like, "Sure," but here's the thing: one, I know your coach, and I respect your coach. I'm good friends with your coach. I'm not gonna step on your coach's toes. So if he says it's okay, you have him contact me. We'll have a conversation, and if he's cool with it, I have no problem with it. After that, once he's cool with it, your AD needs to talk to my AD and vice versa, because now we need to figure out the whole liability insurance thing. Because if you get hurt at my practice, I'm not trying to get in trouble and get sued. So we need to make sure that everything is covered with both districts, because it was two different school districts, and we don't want anybody getting any type of lawsuits. We wanted to make sure that the ADs know, the coaches know, and everybody's in communication so that they know, you know, what's going on, and it's not like some behind-the-back secret thing and, ha-ha, I coached your athlete, I'm better than you. We wasn't trying to be that, you know. And we need to figure out what day is you going to come, because obviously you're not going to come every single day, because then you'd pretty much be running for my team, you know. Needless to say, after I mentioned all that, I was like, oh, yeah, by the way, how are you going to get here, too? Are you going to drive? Because that's a safety issue. You're going to take a bus? Because that's a transportation issue. You know, after I went through all that, the athlete didn't come back. They ended up, you know, training with their school. And then eventually they got a sprint coach. That worked out well. But, I mean, I ran through all these things, and I was, you know, I'm like, these are things you need to think about. The liability, the insurance, the transportation. What time does your school get out versus mine? Because the school I was at, we got it at 3:05. Your school might get out at 2 o'clock. You're going to sit around for an hour, then come into the city to train. You know, it's a lot of things that go into, you know, training somebody else. And at the end of the day, I'm trying to coach my team. So I kind of purposely made sure they knew how much work had to go into it. If they were really, really 100% serious about it and went through with all that and everybody was okay with it, then I wouldn't have had a problem with it. But they didn't, so I didn't have a problem with that either, you know. End of the day, I'm trying to win with my team.
Yes, sir.
Fish out. You know.
Right. Were you talking about money?
Yeah. Because there are some coaches that want that money. You know, they might charge you $80 a session, you know, to give you some knowledge that you could already be getting at practice for free.
I might need to be a side coach.
You want that though, huh?
Yeah.
Skrilla. Then you can Uber him home so you can double up.
Nah, you got to be over 17.
You got to get seniors in.
With a bank account.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. What's next?
But let's talk about now we have these other sport athletes, you know. And I'm going to keep it 100% real. If I have an athlete on my team, and I've said this too. I said this to an athlete, I think, about 3 days ago. If my practice is from 3:30 to 5:30 and you play soccer, I don't give a damn about soccer until 5:31. You want to talk to me about soccer at 5:31? Okay, that's cool. Good luck. From 3:30 to 5:30, I could care less because we about this track life. I'm not changing my workouts because you got soccer tonight. I'm changing my workout because the workout that we're doing requires me to change it because it's something that's going track related. You know what I mean? On the flip side, I mean, I might sound like a jerk. Is the soccer coach changing their workout for me?
Nope.
Is the lacrosse coach changing their workout for me?
Nope.
Is the AAU coach saying, you know what, we're not going to scrimmage tonight because I know some of y'all had track practice? No, of course not. Other sport coaches don't care about anything else but that sport, as they should. I'm not mad at soccer coaches if they got certain stuff they're doing that doesn't line up with me. They're supposed to. That's what soccer coaches do. That's what basketball coaches do. That's what lacrosse coaches do. It's yada, 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 so on and so forth. That's what track coaches do. So if they're not going to change, why should I change? You know, and they shouldn't change. I'm not even trying to suggest that. That's why I mentioned earlier, sometimes it's okay to make that choice that, you know what, as much as I love soccer, I love track more, I want to get better at track, I'll do soccer in the fall for my school, and that'll be it.
You have time all year to do soccer. Like, and at any time, at any point of the year, you can do soccer.
Yeah.
You can give it up for 3 to 6 months.
And my thing
and
is
it's
this.
Still there.
As much as I'd love for all my athletes to do cross-country, indoor, outdoor, summer track, cross-country, and, you know, as much as I'd love that, I also realize and understand the different skill sets that they can get from other sports can benefit them in other sports. Granted, when I've seen basketball players that I thought weren't as good at basketball as they would be in track, you know, I didn't sit there and chase them down like, oh, you need to quit basketball. No, they like basketball. They love basketball. So they're going to come out and do outdoor track in shape. But a lot of the things they were doing in basketball, those are some of our best jumpers. We had great high jumpers that were basketball players. We had great long and triple jumpers that were basketball players. You know, basketball players are great athletes. When I was in high school, we used to recruit soccer players. They might, you know, it's rare you'd find a soccer player that was like a 55-meter, 100-meter, you know, giant. But 200 and up, they was good. So it's like, okay, you might not be great in that one event, but the other 19 you're probably good in, we'll take that. So, I mean, there's different skill sets you get from other sports that can benefit you, you know. On the flip side, I think every offensive lineman or defensive lineman in football should do track and throw shot and disc because the footwork, you know, the explosive raw power workouts that you do in the weight room, you know, the short sprinting that you may do, that's going to translate to the football field and make you a better football player. And we've had this conversation, you know, offline in the past too about the three-sport athlete just dying away because everybody wants to specialize at a young age. And I think that in turn also can lead to some of these injuries as well. Because you're doing that one same thing over and over and over for so long. We talked about overtraining. You get stuck in that plateau. And I didn't even give another good example, like with my daughter. You know, if she became a track star, I would be elated. However, I'm not going to run her in the ground and have her doing track, you know, in the summer, then training her all through the fall. And I want her to actually miss track so that when she gets back to track, she looks forward to it, so she's going to work harder, you know. And then when track's over and she goes to gymnastics, she missed gymnastics because she was in track, so now she's looking forward to it. She's going to work harder. And then when that's over and it's time for the next thing, she missed it, but now she's ready for it, so she's going to work harder. And I think that's the one thing that's missing with a lot of these sport athletes. When you have something over and over and over for so long, you kind of get used to it, you get passive. What do you think about that?
I think football coaches piss me off.
Oh, yeah. They're ridiculous. Like,
no, it's yeah. I mean, I'm just going off to what you were saying a little earlier. A lot of the times when you get an athlete who's specializing, there's more than one person that's involved in that decision. Usually, yeah. That's one. It's the parents. Two. It's the coach. The parents will try to live vicariously through their kid. So if they couldn't be a football star, then their kid's going to do football from Pee Wee, whatever. I don't know what the levels are in football anymore.
They change them all the time. But, yeah. From like maybe like junior midgets or whatever.
Yeah. So, you know, all the way up. And then at that point, the kid's just tired of the – they're just tired of the sport anyways.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you've been doing it your whole – I don't know how many things I do that I lose interest after, you know, a few years. I mean, it's happened with track. I have lost interest before, and it just kind of peaks and goes, and that's just with a lot of things.
Yeah.
But, especially those football coaches who just want their athletes to do weight room. They don't even know what they're doing in the weight room.
Yeah.
I promise. I've seen a lot of nonsense in the weight room, like, yeah, we're going to do, you know, 500 sets of this and...
We're gonna Google J.J. Watt's workout on YouTube and emulate that, and get a wood block and put it on your chest and bench down to the block. And really, is that necessary? Yeah. Oh, by the way, we lift in track practice. I'm pretty sure that they lift in basketball practice. Pretty sure they lift in baseball practice. You know, there's weight training in most sports.
And there should be anyways. Yeah. How about that?
Yeah. So I mean, if you're concerned about the weight training, you probably don't need to be if you're in a school that has multiple sports with, you know, solid programs and coaches that, you know, care. There's weight training. So, but yeah, I kind of.
And on top of you talking about, you know, getting like someone else's workouts, you know, let's say it's a pro. Let's say it's James Harrison.
Yeah.
You know that name?
Oh, yeah.
Big and buff?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's see. You can probably only do those workouts if you're on steroids.
Yeah.
Because you gotta, steroids kind of help you recover.
Yeah. And if once again, if you don't know who that is, check out his Instagram.
Yo.
James Harrison from the Pittsburgh Steelers / New England Patriots. He went and sold out for a bit. But yo.
Hey, you gotta get the money.
Everything you see online is not for everybody. If you look like Captain America before the serum, you don't need to be doing James Harrison workouts. Right. Yeah, yeah. It's a lot of people out there. Oh, James Harrison's my favorite athlete. That don't mean you gotta do what he does.
Nope.
You know. And if somebody the exact same size as James Harrison try to do what he does, they might not be able to do it because they have a different genetic makeup, you know. You gotta remember too, you get all these genes from your parents. So if your parents weren't like a super, super stud athlete, I mean, like, don't think that just overnight you're going to become a stud athlete without working. It has to be a gradual buildup. It's not saying if your parents weren't athletes, you'll never be athletic. It just means that it's not going to come naturally. You're not going to, you know, come out of the womb, you know, with a six-pack, you know, and perfectly curved biceps, okay? You got to work at it. So, you know, don't try and just emulate what you see others doing, especially just grabbing stuff online and like, oh, yeah, I'm going to do the Nebraska football lineman workout, and you're a 10th grader in high school.
Yeah.
You know, and those are grown men.
And I just also want to say, I'm not saying James Harrison is on steroids. I'm just saying he might be.
He might not be, but if you're Captain America before the serum, you'll probably need him.
Yeah. Listen, there's a lot of dirty players, and I mean dirty, like taking illegal supplementation for baseball, enhanced performance.
Football.
Track,
Russia,
Jamaica, 979,
30 for 30, the whole finals.
Oh, and Ben Johnson was Jamaican too.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just saying. Some people, I think Flojo was on something. I don't know. People don't like me saying that.
Yeah.
But, you know, once they started drug testing, she was like, I'm out. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying. A little suspicious.
A little bit.
I'm just saying.
Kids, don't use steroids. Don't use...
Unless you want a $1 million endorsement. Sorry.
Dude, it's trippy. Yeah, you'll lose it in other areas, though. Like your kidneys.
Guys, your testicles. They're gone.
Yeah. Girls, you'll start to look like guys. They kind of have like the equal opposite effect. Guys start to look like girls, girls start to look like guys. And
I mean, if you're into that, you know, go for it.
Yeah, it's your body, but, you know, just know what comes with it afterwards, for real.
Oh, yeah. How did we get on that? Okay.
Yeah.
What's
we got on that from side sports.
Yeah, we did. Football and, okay, yeah, that makes sense. I wasn't going crazy.
Yeah. All right, well, yeah, like we said, you know, side sports can be just as bad as side coaches because it's not fair. And it's not, like I said, it's not fair to either sport. If you play soccer and your coach expects you to be there at 5 o'clock and track practice ends at 5:30, we both should be mad because I expect you to be there at 5:30. Your track coach, your soccer coach expects you to be there at 5 o'clock. You're doing a disservice to both programs. And at the end of the day, you're doing a disservice to yourself. You know what I mean? Because I know me personally, I don't want to hear any complaints about being sore, tired, or not being able to do a workout if you're sore, tired, and can't do a workout because of something else. If it's because I gave you a hard workout, that's one thing. But that's probably not going to happen because I'll cut you off before I give you extra one. I've learned that lesson in the past before, you know, letting somebody, coach, can I just do one more? And then they end up injured for like a month and a half, you know. I learned that lesson the hard way. So I'm not going to do that. So if you're, you know, if you're, if you get injured, be prepared to sit out, you know. And also, be prepared to be injured if you're trying to double up, whether it be with the coach or another sport, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it might turn out well, too. I don't know how.
Yeah, I mean, there's rare situations where it could turn out well, but I know for it's just like lottery tickets. A couple people are going to hit the lottery and be millionaires. The other 900 million of y'all gonna be broke from buying all them lottery tickets and not winning.
Yeah, I'm broke.
You know,
from buying all them lottery tickets. Hey, listen, I got a shot. You know, it's like in Dumb and Dumber. You're saying there's a chance, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why you play the lottery.
Yep.
Listen, Mega Millions is a 400 something million. It'd be nice.
Yeah.
It'd be nice. Like, yeah, I can't really say what I'm gonna do with all that money, you know. But I got to win it first.
Yeah.
Actually, I got to play the lottery. How about that? I haven't played in months.
Yeah. At the end of the day, if you can't handle the harsh reality that you may be injured, you know, or you may dip in performance in both sports, then you might have to make that choice. If you choose both, then you got to suck it up, be quiet, and keep your doctor on speed dial. That's the way I look at it. Mm-hmm. Because once you're injured, ain't enough protein powder you can
yeah, add. You just got to, you know, wait it out and rehab.
Yeah.
There's no real good way.
But I do want to share this one little quick story. I had an athlete, shout out to BJ Allen, one of my former long jumpers. In this situation, this is one of those kids where he was a dance major. And the first time I saw him long jump, I'm like, oh, my God, I just got to get him on the board. Like, I just got to not mess it up. Because when he took off, he was, like, all over the place on the board. But he had the perfect takeoff, the perfect form. I'm like, oh, this dude's a natural. I just got to get him on the board and get him stronger. Plain and simple. You know, I got to basically not mess this up. I'm not going to overcoach him. I'm just going to just work on these little minor things he needs to enhance what he already has and go from there. And granted, at one point, he ended up being his senior year. He was number one in our section, in section five, in the long jump on our leaderboard. Of course, he was getting approached by, hey, oh, you know, I can help you with this and everything like that. The funny thing, though, he came back to me and told me, he was like, Harris, you know so-and-so trying to get me to work with them and thing, but they don't have anybody on their team beating me, so why would I go work with them?
That's right.
You got to look at it like that, too, athletes. If you got a coach that wants to work with you, but you're, like, beating everybody on their team, you should ask yourself the question, why aren't you developing your own athletes? Awkward silence.
Yeah. what are you going to do?
You know, if you have a coach that's telling you they can help you improve your hurdles, but they have 9 hurdles on their team and you don't see any of them improving, how can they help you?
Yeah, I can improve a lot of people, but I'm not going to. Just because they're not on my team.
Yeah.
Like, I'm okay. Yeah, let's be honest. I don't like kids as it is, so I'm not going out of my way to help anyone else's.
We had to drop that bomb in there.
So, yeah, about that. No, that's it.
My thing is this, too. I mean, I'm going to be 100% honest, too. Deep down inside, whether we like to admit it or not, because, you know, some, oh, I'm not that guy or I'm not that girl. Every coach who is competitive has an ego.
I sure do.
I know I do. I'm not even going to lie. But at the same time, my ego is for my athletes, meaning that, yeah, I could help this person. I could help that person. You know, we're at track meets all the time. We're talking to, you know, our friends that are coaching. It's like, oh, you ever think about doing this with them? But I'm talking to the coach. I'm not trying to talk to the athlete. I'm not trying to get in their head because if my athlete's beating you, I want you to stay in that messed up head mind state. You know what I mean? Because I'm trying to win,
right.
Plain and simple. I'm not trying to give you some jewels that I should be giving to my athletes. You know, summer track, come holler at me. You know, it's free for all. Anybody can get this help and get this work. When it's school season, I don't know you, dog. I don't know you. Good job. Keep working hard. Listen to your coach. Deuces. That's
right.
It. That's all I got.
Right.
That's all I got.
That's extra work. I don't want it. Let me put it like this, too. If I'm at a job,
yep,
I'm not going to want to do someone else's work. Right? I'm
yeah.
not going to want to do someone else's job and then get paid the same.
Yeah, exactly.
So why am I going to do someone else's job from another team that's not going to pay me?
I'm all set. I'll do you one better.
Go ahead.
I work at Microsoft. Mm-hmm. I ain't trying to help Google.
That's right.
You know? I'm trying to make sure Microsoft is popping.
I'm trying why to sabotage Google. No,
yeah. I'm not trying to mess with Google because, like, look. We trying to get it in over here. We trying to be the top in technology. We ain't trying to help Google out. Well, hey, did you ever try doing this with Google Plus? Nah. Google Plus is fine. Y'all keep it over there. We working on this over there. And vice versa. Ain't nobody from Google trying to help Microsoft. So if I coach this team, coach Team A, Hilton Cadets, holla, respect. I'm not trying to help anybody else till the summertime.
That's right. You ever notice how Winnie the Pooh doesn't have any pants?
Nope.
Right.
He's a pervert.
Yeah, he walks around with no pants on.
Yeah. We just want to end it with that tidbit right there, just in case, you know, anybody was wondering why Winnie. Yeah.
Anyways, all
right. Moving right along. Yeah. So, I think we pretty much covered everything with side coaches. At the end of the day, trust your coach. Trust your program, you know, be in it to get better, but also know that people have your best interest in heart, and it's not about perfection, it's about progression. I say that to my athletes all the time. And who is going to know your progression better than somebody that sees you every day at practice? Somebody that's seen you maybe from 7th grade all the way through 12th grade. You know, when Ferdy talked earlier about, you know, they know your mental mind state. They know you might need to be yelled at, but he or she might need to be hugged or, you know, or you know, just talked to in a kinder way. You know, somebody that sees you once or twice a week is not going to know all that. You know, the person that sees you every day is going to say, oh, yo, they had taquitos at lunch today.
Yeah.
Practice might not be a good one. You might need to just chill out, drink some water, get on the bike. Today ain't your day.
Yeah, better be glad it's outdoor.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
I ain't smelling no farts.
Yeah, but, you know, the person that's with you every day sees those tendencies and has your best interest at heart. I'm not going to say some of y'all don't got coaches that don't know what they doing. But at the end of the day, try and work it out with your program because you don't want to get hurt. You don't want to plateau. You don't want to set yourself back. And you don't want to cheat yourself out of a chance to be better. That being said, 585tracktalk@gmail.com is the email. Hit us up. If you like what we're talking about, let us know. If you can't stand us, let us know that too. We take everything. You know what I'm saying? What's your IG, Ferd? What's your Twitter, Ferd? It's the same thing, Ferd. Hit him with it.
At he is Ferdy, Ferdy.
All one word.
Yes.
You can hit me up on IG at Coach Harris TF. The TF is for track and field. All one word. You can hit me up on Twitter at The Real DJ Rock. That's at The Real DJ ROC. Yes, I am a DJ. Holla at me if you need a party. Word. The IG and the Twitter for Track Talk It's at Track Talk With Us, all one word, all spelled correctly. If you're watching on YouTube, the button right below, it says subscribe. It's red. I forgot to be in that. Subscribe. Yes. Click on it. Subscribe. Get notified every time we post an episode. All
right? Like the video. Hit the thumbs up. I think that's a thumbs up, right?
Yeah, it's a thumbs up. Don't hit thumbs down. Like it.
I mean, well, you can.
You can hit the thumbs down. I mean, so all publicity is good publicity.
Just, you know, put in the comments that you put a thumbs down. We want to know.
Yeah. Put a name. Put your name on it. Like
and your address.
Put your name on it.
Your address, your phone number.
Credit card statement.
Social security.
Your PIN number. The 3-digit security code on the back of the card. And Yeah. Check out in the links in description. We have the SoundCloud. We have the Google Play Music. We have the iTunes link. Say you're on the road and you're riding and you ain't trying to click on YouTube in your car and you want to stream us. Do that. Google Play Music, SoundCloud, iTunes. Word. All you iPhone users, come to Team Android. Google Play Music, SoundCloud. It's all good. Any last words for you?
Nope.
Yeah, we done. And that's all. We'll see y'all. Another day, another dollar. Track Talk. Holla.
Deuce.